On Taiwan Talk this week, for an island nation with more than 1,700 kilometers worth of coastline, Taiwan and its inhabitants are not exactly fans of the ocean. That's not surprising given we face the combined legacy of martial law and contentious cross-strait ties along with unfavorable cultural attitudes towards the sea. In fact, recreational boating didn't actually start up until 2012. That's when the government revised the law of ships, which recognized private boats as a legitimate category, along with fishing boats and cargo ships. Veteran sailor Philippe Grelon holds the record for making the journey from Taipei to Hong Kong. He did that in 2006, 6 years before pleasure boat sailing was sanctioned by law. He joins us on Taiwan Talk to talk about the challenges he faced when he first arrived with his yacht in this week's edition of Taiwan Talk. But before we get started, if you're interested in becoming a part of the conversation around Taiwan Talk, be a sponsor. Drop us a line at socialmedia@icrt.com.tw.
Yes, it was very complicated at the beginning because it was forbidden to sail in Taiwan. I knew that. But since we were moving for my work here in Taipei, it was just impossible for me to leave my boat in Hong Kong. So we decided to cross over the Taiwan Strait. And to arrive in Taiwan, the only way was to get a repair permit for 6 months. So we obtained that repair permit from a famous boatyard called Tachau, which is next to Bali Bridge on the Tanshui River. When we arrived in Taipei, I think we had the Coast Guard and the police patrol straight away after us. And within 15 minutes, the boat was basically put on land. We could not stay more than an hour in the water at the jetty of the boatyard. Straight away, the boat had to be on land. So at the time when I arrived, I met a first sailor in Taiwan, a guy called Kenny Wong, and he had 4 boats, 2 in the garden, because he had no right to put them in the water. 1 was registered and was in Bisha Yugong, and I think maybe from memory it was registered as a fishing vessel, but I'm not 100% sure of that one. And another one was also in Bisha Yugong from memory, but could not move out of the small harbor of Bisha Yugong. So Kenny said to me, you know, Philippe, once your repair permit will be completed, you will have to go back to Hong Kong. You will have no choice. They will never want to keep you here. So that was a good start, you know. So when the repair permit was completed, of course, the Marine Department said to me, you have to go back to Hong Kong. You cannot stay here. And since we were living here and working here in Taiwan, it was no way I would basically sail back the boat to Hong Kong. And so what I did, I started to discuss with the Marine Department to explain first that there was no way we could sail the boat back to Hong Kong, as we had repaired the boat and dismantled the boat, and we had to test the boat before we could even go into the strait, because the strait is very dangerous, very heavy wind, very big waves. And so they said to me, okay. I remember the Marine Department guy in front of all his staff was shouting to me, saying, oh, Philippe, you have to go back, you have to go back, you are totally illegal here, you will end up in jail, we will confiscate your boat, etc., etc., etc. And then he asked me to come in his private room, and he said, look, Philippe, what you will do, you will do a test here, and then you will have an emergency situation where I have no choice. You will have to stay in Taipei.
After decades of living and sailing in Hong Kong, Philippe and his son Cosmas have returned to Taiwan to sail under the ROC flag. They'll be competing in the Rolex China Sea Race, which sees boats sail from Hong Kong to the Philippines. It's only the second time in the event's history that the ROC is starting in the regatta.
So this race, which one? The China Sea Race, 2024.
Yeah.
So we've done it before. We've done it in 2018 together. We did it in 2023 together. This is just, it'll be the third time we do it. Hopefully we get the result that we're looking for so that we feel we've accomplished the feat.
What are you looking for?
Well, last year we came second overall, and this year we want to do better.
You want to win it.
We have the chance to sail against the Beneteau Figaro 3, which is a boat, a very fast boat. And this boat belongs to a Taiwanese who very nicely landed the boat. Unfortunately, I had some issues last year where we lost the autopilot, so it was difficult because after the first night we had no more pilot and we had to steer the boat all the way for 450 miles. So when you're only two, it's difficult. And especially when you have to do cooking, because we have a system where basically one has to hold the cooking system as the other one is pouring the water. So if we have one on the steering, basically you could not eat. So last year we had to eat fruit bars for 4 days, basically. So hopefully this year would be better. But no, it's quite an amazing. And I think this year we have 25 boats. We will have competition, serious competition this year. So we will have to really give everything we can to try to be successful.
Okay, is this the first time that Taiwan is fielding a keelboat into the China Sea Race?
We were under Taiwanese flag last year as well. So we have, you know, TPE on our sails. We have it again this year. This year there's another boat as well, a Pogo 36, coming from Taiwan, so that's great. I think it's probably the year where there's the most entries from Taiwan. So it's going in the right direction, which is good to see. And I think, you know, obviously during COVID, the race didn't happen and everything, but hopefully the direction is positive for sailing in Taiwan.
What does it feel like for you to have to go through everything that you went through in the beginning and to see it now where you are at the point where people are willing, there are now commercial marinas, there are now places where people can keep keelboats, and there's a nascent dinghy program that maybe one day will take off?
No, you're right. I think it was difficult, but again, when you're a foreigner, you arrive with no taboo. So for me, probably it was a little bit easier because I didn't know what I was expecting in terms of complication. I didn't know Taiwan. Of course, I knew it was forbidden to sail in Taiwan. I knew that everyone was extremely scared of the water, that half of the people could not swim. It was very interesting. One day when we had the authorization of sailing, Chris, our crew, always had a different Taiwanese girlfriend, and one day we were anchor, and his girlfriend jumped in the water, and luckily everyone was around because she was just going down. She had no idea that she could not swim, you know. I mean, she said, oh, I'd been in the water before, but, you know, I could walk, it was all right, so. Anyway, so, yeah, no, you're right, it was a bit difficult, but again, because I didn't know, you know, I just went, and it is probably because I was foreigner that I was successful, you know. All our friends, Taiwanese friends at the time, sailors who came on our boat, they always said, look, it would have been very difficult for us to being a Taiwanese, to be able to do that sort of stuff. So it's quite nice, yeah.
So if you had to give a time frame where you finally see recreational sailing take off, given the amount of time that we've all collectively spent trying to see the sport go up, how much?
You know, it takes time, but yeah, okay, we talk about of a 20-year period since we were there. It was in 2003. Things have gone quite well. I mean, okay, it's a small scale, but, you know, you remember also something. It's not necessarily expat people who are sailing here, but local Taiwanese people. And this is fantastic because, you know, if you compare to another place like Hong Kong, 20 years ago in Hong Kong, you had 70% of the sailors were expat and 30% local. Now it's exactly the reverse. It's 70% local and 30% expat. And here in Taiwan, it's mainly 100% local people. So it's fantastic. And I think, you know, there would be a dynamic where one can see he's got a boat or they can share a boat with friends. It's a very common aspect of sailing is the community people and the fact of sharing, alors not only sailing, but the food going around, the entertainment going around. So it's very, very nice social activity, you know.
You were listening to Philippe and Cosmas Grelon. Now, if parts of this episode caught your interest, you can catch this and past episodes of Taiwan Talk on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you download your podcast. I'm Hope Goh. Thank you for tuning in.